Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me.
I'd like to turn for a moment to Pope Benedict's words this past week during his customary general audience, when he said the Easter sequence sings the victory of the Lord of Life, who, after a heroic struggle with death, now lives triumphant, adding,
"After the Via Crucis of Good Friday, our solemnist vigil sets us on a Via Lucis, marked by consolation, peace, and hope."
Well, as we've set out on this Via Lucis, I thought I'd like to join a professor of liturgy at the Pontifical Institute of Liturgy at St. Joseph's Abbey in Louisiana in the United States, Abbot Patrick Regan, for a reflection on the Easter liturgy.
Especially in Latin, the Triduum is called the Paschal Triduum. So we celebrate the Pascha over 3 days. In English, we could say that Easter is a 3-day celebration in which we include both the life-giving death and the passage from death to life on all 3 days. Maybe it would be good to recall a little bit about the biblical significance of the third day. Easter Sunday is the third day. In the Bible, the third day is always the day of deliverance. We come across it, first of all, in Genesis 22, the famous story of Abraham sacrificing Isaac. They walk for 2 days to Mount Moriah, and then on the third day, Isaac is bound, placed upon the wood. And then the angel of the Lord, just as Abraham is about, lifts his arm to strike the victim, the angel of the Lord appears to him and says, "Do no harm to the boy." So the third day for Isaac is the day of deliverance, the day on which he is spared and given new life. In Exodus 19, the story of the making of the covenant at Sinai, God tells people to prepare themselves for the first day and the second day, and then on the third day, he appears. It's the day of his self-manifestation. And in Osi chapter 6, very explicitly, the third day is said to be the day of resurrection. People say, "Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us that he may heal us. He has stricken us, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us, and on the third day, he will raise us up." And so the New Testament presents the resurrection of Jesus as being on the third day, as he himself promised that the Son of Man would be as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. So the third day is the day of appearance, the day in which Jesus shows himself to be life-giving.
I think you have some readings there that you find particularly interesting.
Yes, very much so. The first reading on Easter Sunday is always from Acts chapter 10, in which Peter explains to his hearers that the enemies of Jesus had put him to death, but on the third day, God raised him. Now, this is very interesting because what it shows is that the agent of the resurrection, the one who raises, is not Jesus. Jesus didn't bring himself back to life, but that the agent of the resurrection is God, the one to whom Jesus surrendered himself on the cross. In raising Jesus from the dead, God shows himself to be Father. In being raised from the dead, Jesus is revealed as Son, and the power in which Jesus is raised is the Holy Spirit. So we see here at the heart of the Paschal mystery is revealed the mystery of the Holy Trinity. And this is said very explicitly in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the title above number 648 in the Catechism is the resurrection dash a work of the Holy Trinity. This, of course, has baptismal implications. In baptism, we die and rise with Christ, but at the same time profess faith in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the one who raised him from the dead, and the power in which he was raised, the Holy Spirit. It's interesting, too, that in this reading from the Acts, Peter goes on to say, he was seen, not by everybody, but he was seen by us who ate and drank with him after his resurrection. So one of the proofs of the resurrection, the proof that Jesus was corporeally living, is that he ate with his disciples and frequently asked them, do you have anything to eat? And then he said, yes, we have some fish. And then he ate it before their eyes. So eating is the proof of his being living. And he always eats it with other people and enters into communion with them, all of which, of course, has Eucharistic overtones, because now in the Eucharist, he continues to make himself present and eat with us. The second reading is also very powerful. There's a choice between Colossians 3 and 1 Corinthians 5, 6 to 8. I prefer the second one, 1 Corinthians 5, 6 to 8, because in this one, it's a very short reading, just a few lines, but in it, St. Paul uses a phrase which is destined to be repeated over and over again in Paschal liturgy and Paschal music. Pascha nostrum immolatus est Christus. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. But what this shows is that the Pascha is the death of Jesus. It's Jesus in the act of his sacrifice that fulfills the Paschal lamb. So in the New Testament, Pascha has everything to do with the death of Jesus and nothing to do with his resurrection. Paschal only takes on overtones of resurrection, 6th and 7th century. But the primitive meaning of the Pasch is the sacrifice of Jesus, the fulfillment of the sacrifice of the Paschal lamb in Exodus 12. That brings us to the sequence which is sung on Easter Sunday and throughout the Paschal octave of Easter, Victime Pasquali Laudes. The opening words, Victime Pasquali Laudes, forth to the Paschal victim, bring your sacrifice of praise. Makes the link between what Paul says about Christ being our Paschal sacrifice, our Paschal victim. The lamb redeems the sheep, and Christ, the sinless one, to the Father, sinners have reconciled. Then it enters into a kind of a dramatic section, asking Mary Magdalene what she saw, and she describes what she saw, the napkin and linens and so forth. And then we come to the conclusion that, yea, Christ is risen. He goes before you into Galilee. And then it ends with a profession of faith. We know that Christ indeed has risen from the grave. Hail, thou King of victory. Have mercy, Lord, and save us. It's a beautiful chant. There's a metrical version of it that's probably familiar to more people than the Gregorian chant version of the Victime Pasquali. It's called Christ the Lord is Risen Today.
Christ the Lord is risen today.
Christians, haste your vows to pay. Offer ye your praises meet at the Paschal victim's feet. For the sheep the lamb has bled, sinless in the sinner's stead. Christ is risen, today we cry. Now he lives no more to die.
You were listening there to Professor of Liturgy at the Pontifical Institute of Liturgy at St. Joseph's Abbey in Louisiana in the United States, Abbot Patrick Regan. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.